if you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. We are in a series called Parables of the Kingdom. We've been looking through the kingdom concept over the last month. And now we're in this series of parables concerning the kingdom. And we will be in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. And since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Lord, this morning I pray that you'd give us ears to hear, God, eyes to see, a mind to believe, a heart to receive what you have to say to us today. Lord, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would begin to massage our hearts, break up any hard ground that might be there, Lord, and allow us to be receptive of your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts today. Lord, I do realize that there's strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this parable, we just read the parable, that's the story, in verses 1 through 9. And then Jesus gives us the interpretation of this parable, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. In Matthew chapter 13, we'll revisit that verse 3. Jesus tells them many parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. The interpretation is found in Matthew 13, verse 18, where it says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is what was sown along the path. So we have Jesus here telling us the interpretation of this parable of the sower, parable of the soils. We're going to name this and title this message, The Seed of the Kingdom. We're going to see that there's one constant throughout this parable, one story, and there are some variables in it as well. The one constant is the seed. The seed is the same. It is the same throughout each scattering. It is where the seed falls. It is the different soils that change. And so when the sower goes out to sow the seed, I believe that's when God sent his son, Jesus came preaching a certain message. Remember what we've been talking about over these last several weeks. When Jesus came, he came to preach the message of what? Salvation, or the gospel, which is the kingdom. Very good. Thank you. The kingdom. The kingdom of God is in your midst. Behold, the kingdom of God has come among you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here, right? And so the apostles in Acts, we see that as they began preaching, what did they preach? They preached the good news of the kingdom. Good news means gospel, so the gospel of the kingdom. And so this parable, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a sower who goes out and he scatters seed. The sower, I believe Jesus came preaching the kingdom. The apostles preached the kingdom. And the church now proclaims the kingdom. Anytime that a preacher heralds the gospel, proclaims the good news, the seed of the kingdom is being scattered. So every Sunday morning when we gather as a church, what's being done? Seeds are being scattered. So this morning, as we talk about the kingdom, we talk about the gospel, how the gospel is the good news to save sinners who can be freed from their sin and forgiven and made right with the holy God. That's good news. Amen. That is seed that's being scattered. Now, the question becomes, how does that seed work? How can it change and produce? It depends on the soil that it falls on. And so Jesus gives different types of soil. We see these. We have the hard path. This is the path. This is the first one that it talks about. And then we have the rocky soil, and we're going to have the thorny soil that we're going to look at. And the hard path, that path that falls along where the seed scatters and sets on, and the birds come and just pick it. They just take it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, hard pan. You know, if you've ever been through the woods and you've walked through and you've been on a certain path, it's downtrodden, there's no grass there, it's just hard dirt, right? Those of you who remember, back in the day when you had swing sets and there was no mulch underneath it was just grass. But eventually what happens underneath that seat? It wears out. It wears out and there's just nothing but a bare patch of hard pan, hard dirt, right? It's just a path. And if you put a seed just sitting on that, is it going to take root? No. When we bought our house, we bought the lot next to our house, and we had it cleared off and kind of smoothed out the best we could. And I remember the time that we were scattering the seed, and I was planting. I was wanting to grow grass there, and scattered the hay out there. You know, I'm trying to water it and do all that good stuff. And I, daggone it, I'd look out there, and guess what I'd see? I'd see all these birds coming, trying to steal my seed. I was like, what are they doing? I'm trying to plant grass, and these birds keep eating my grass seed. You know, it made infuriated me. Why? Because they're trying to take away something I'm trying to produce. Well, Jesus says that when the sower goes and scatters the seed, the birds of the air represent the evil one who comes and tries to and snatches that seed before it can ever take root. That's the evil one. Jesus, when he prayed for his disciples, he prayed, Father, protect them from the evil one. Paul said in Thessalonians, he said in 2 Thessalonians 3:8, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That there is an enemy of God, and that when the seed of the gospel is sown, there is an enemy named Satan who is very real, and he is a seed eater. He is a seed snatcher. He is someone trying to take away and rob people from the good news of the kingdom. That's why anytime in a church service or anytime you share the gospel with someone that you work with or that a family member, whatever, there is a real tension that you feel. There is something going on. Why? Because there is a spiritual battle going on. Paul describes that Satan is the prince and the power of this air, meaning this present world. We talked about this a few weeks ago. We live in a nation among nations. As people of God, we live in the kingdom of God. So we live for another world. We don't live for this world. We live for the hopes of another world. And so Satan rules the philosophies of this culture. The system of the world system, Satan moves and operates in this world system. And he would love to do nothing but to rob people from responding to the gospel. If he can keep you enslaved to your life the way that it is apart from Christ, he will have you live that way until the day you die, because he knows that any life that is lived apart from Christ, when that person dies, their soul waits eternal judgment. So there's a spiritual battle going on even right now. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would break our hard heart. If you've been hardened by the world, if you've been hardened and you've got anger and pain and bitterness that's built up and downtrodden your life, and you've just been crushed. Maybe people have disappointed you. Maybe things in your life just happened. Maybe the doctor's report was negative, and it's just hardened you, and it feels like that you've been stomped and you've been stomped and you've been stomped, and your heart has become so hard that when you hear the gospel, it just sets, and then Satan can steal it just like that. And pray that God would soften your heart, that you'd allow the Holy Spirit to plow up that hard pan, that hard ground. That's the one soil that does not receive the seed. There's another soil that doesn't receive the seed as well. Verse 5, other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they spring up, since they did not have depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. The interpretation Jesus gives for that is found in verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now, I believe this is a false professor. This is not a true, genuine conversion. This is someone that through the excitement, through the hype, through the emotion, through the joy that they felt like they were going to respond to, they immediately receive it with joy. But when the first sign of persecution comes, or tribulation or hardship comes because of the word, they wither away and die. Why? Because there's really no root. Because the only thing that can really grow in a rock bed is weeds. Nothing of significance. We have there's times you have people that respond. Maybe it's they're in a conference, or they're at a church or whatever, and they get emotionally stirred, and they make an emotional decision rather than having a true heart conversion. Maybe their life is difficult right now, and they're thinking, man, I tell you what, nothing else has worked, so I'll just try Jesus. Let me just try Jesus and see if this whole Jesus thing's work, and see if he can straighten my life up. And I'll just try Jesus. And what people do is they try Jesus, and their life doesn't get any better. Still things don't work out. And they say, well, see, I knew that whole Jesus thing didn't work. See, Jesus didn't come to save you, to take away all your problems. In fact, if you are a true believer, you'll have tribulation. That was a promise made by Jesus. In this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. But fear not, I have overcome the world. And so some people think that, well, that didn't work. We can be offended by the word too. Sometimes the word can be too difficult for us, and we say, well, I'm not doing that. Jesus, at one point in his ministry, began preaching and teaching, and he said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. He's talking about Moses and the children of Israel when God provided them the manna. He said, but I am the true bread from heaven. And whoever comes to me and must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, he wasn't literally meaning eating his flesh and drinking his blood, but he was saying that you must believe in me, that I am God, and that in me and through me and only through me you have life everlasting. And the Bible says that many that were with him that day turned and walked away and followed him no more. It was too hard. The word was too hard. They couldn't receive that. And so Jesus turns and looks at the 12 disciples, and he says, do you all want to leave as well? And Peter steps up and he says, Lord, we have nowhere else to go. We believe that you and you alone are the Christ, and in you, you have the words of eternal life. You see, the true, genuine believer knows this, that no matter what's going on in your life, Things may be falling apart. Things may be difficult. You may be suffering. There may be hardship. And you may be tempted to look around and say, well, maybe I need to check this out. Maybe I need to, and you doubt and fears and all that may creep in your life. But the true child of God knows that there is only one place and one person who has the truth of eternal life. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the feet of Jesus is where I find my life, my hope, my purpose, and my peace. It is in Him and Him alone. Amen. On account of the word, they suffer hardship, trouble, and persecution. If you live out your faith and actually verbalize your faith, there will be a time where you'll get persecuted. Okay? There will be a time when someone says something to you or makes fun of you or mocks you or maybe even fires you. Right? All our kids in high school, if you verbalize your faith and talk about your faith and stand for your faith, there will be a time when other kids may make fun of you. Could be a possibility that a teacher makes fun of you. I had a college professor ridicule me about my faith. I had my Bible on my desk. And me and this other guy, Blaine, he was also going to ministry. And we had our Bible in our desk. And, you know, I'm a young college student. I hadn't went to seminary yet, so I didn't know all the vast knowledge that I know now. And he looks at that Bible, and he says, oh, so you're one of those Christians, huh? I said, yeah. He said, well, tell me then. What language did your Savior speak? King James? I didn't know, you know. I'm like, I didn't know he spoke Aramaic, you know. I wonder where the New Testament was written in Greek and Old Testament written in Hebrew. You know, now that I've had to study both Hebrew and Greek, I know that now. But I didn't know that then. And, you know, he was trying to make me look foolish in front of the class. And stuff like that will happen. So can we do some group therapy? I think I can't remember what service I did this in a couple weeks ago or whatever. But it's just good. It's just good for the soul. Anyway, all right. Especially to all the millennials out there who always received a trophy and was told that they did everything right, and you just didn't want to offend anybody, and everything was good and wonderful. It's okay if somebody doesn't like you. It is. Your world doesn't fall apart because somebody said something negative about you on Facebook. You know, or they got snippy on the Snapchat. It's okay. Okay? It's okay. If you stand for the truth of God's word, there's going to be a time when someone doesn't like you. Because if you hadn't read the Bible lately and you haven't been noticing what's going on in our world and our culture, don't you see that there are some issues and there's some things that the Bible says that says this is how it's to be, and our world says, no, this is how it's to be, and they're completely opposite. Does anyone notice that? I hope you notice that. And when you side with Scripture, you're going to offend people. Now, we don't try to be offensive, and we're not trying to be argumentative, and don't be belligerent, but there's going to be a time that you are going to have to make a stand for the gospel. And you got to decide, am I truly a born-again believer that's willing to suffer persecution if need be? Or do I bow my knee to the world? Because anyone who desires to live a godly life, the Bible says, will be persecuted. And so these people, like the gospel in 1 John, John writes in there, that there are people who really aren't truly born again. They may say they are, but they're really not. He says they went out from us because they were really not of us. If they were of us, they would have remained with us, but they weren't of us. There's another type of soil. It's the thorny soil. Verse 7. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Verse 22 is the explanation by Jesus. He says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. You see that? There's two enemies here that Satan uses. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. The cares of the world. The pleasures of the world. The fleshy desires. Our carnal nature. There was a man who proved himself to be a false believer that we see in Scripture. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul writes, for Demas, in love with what? This present world has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica because he loved the world system more than the kingdom. 1 John 2:15, John writes this, do not love the world or the things in the. If anyone loves the love of the Father is not in. For all that is in the desire of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life is not from the, but it is from the, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Do you see what John's warning us of? It's the same thing that Jesus is talking about in this parable of the soils, the cares of this world. That people will hear the gospel, they will hear the good news of Jesus, and they'll say, you know, I just love this life more than I love that life. Because here's the thing. We're Americans. It's hard for Americans to receive the gospel. You know why? Because we pride ourselves on independence. As Americans, we pride ourselves on our independence. We pride ourselves that we can pull ourselves up from our bootstraps and make it on our own, right? I mean, we got the American dream ahead of us where we can prosper and we can achieve anything we want to achieve and just whatever you want to do, just set your mind to it and you can do it. And you're the boss of your destiny. You control your destiny. Whatever you want to do, you just do it, right? That's the attitude and the mindset of us as Americans. Whatever, you just be yourself. Just you do you. You just go do you, girl. Go do you, man. Just do you. And that's the problem, because the Bible says that if anyone wants to be my disciple, Jesus says, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That anyone who desires to follow me must crucify the flesh. That if you're going to walk into the kingdom of God, you must die to the things of this world. That there is a daily death, that we die to the flesh and live in the spirit. And so we no longer walk after the lust of the flesh. The lust of sexuality. The lust of promiscuity. Just the pleasures of this world that entice us. Greed, money, power, wealth, fame, glory, all of those things. To make ourselves look good and to feed our own appetites. That's the thorns that choke the word of God from being fruitful in our life. Now, how many of you all have fleshy desires that God says that's not right? How many of you all have fleshy desires that God says that? Okay, the rest of you have the fleshy desire to lie. Okay, because every single one of us in here, including me, we have fleshy desires that go against God's word. We all battle that. every single one of us. And the question becomes, what type of soil is in my heart? If my heart is thorny and I allow the cares of this world to choke out God's word, then I will cave into my fleshy desires, and I will cherish the fleshy desires more than the godly desires. And here's the lie of Satan. The lie of Satan says that those fleshy desires are so much greater than those spiritual desires. And that's not true. Now, here's what the Bible's honest about. I like the Bible. You ought to read it. It's interesting. The Bible is very plain about this truth. Sin is fun. Right? We wouldn't sin if it wasn't fun. Right? If it didn't appeal to the pleasure, if it didn't heighten our arousal, if it didn't give us a feeling of something, we wouldn't do it. The Bible says that sin has its season. It has a pleasure in its own season, but in the end, it leads to what? Destruction. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end leads to death. So sin may have its pleasure just for a moment. You may have the thrill of it, but in the end, it will bite you like a snake. There are many people that I have counseled, there are many people that I know, that they have taken one experience, one opportunity, one invitation, and they had a moment of one thrill and one experience that led them down a path that destroyed their life. All for a thrill. All for a momentary high. All for a pleasure, a fleshy desire. Don't allow the passions of your flesh to choke out the word of God. Because here's what I've discovered. That the joys of the kingdom far outweigh the pleasures of this world. That there is a joy and a pleasure in following Jesus. When you begin living a life of selflessness rather than selfishness, you experience a greater high than when you're living it just for yourself. When you begin investing your life into the kingdom of God and you begin pouring it out to magnify his name and you're not worried about glorifying your name, you'll experience a greater joy. Does that make sense? The deceit is this, that the world and the flesh offers you something better than the kingdom and the spirit. But I'm here to tell you the kingdom and the spirit is the only life that offers true life, happiness, peace, joy, and all eternity. Do not let the cares of this world and the pleasures of this world to choke out that seed that God wants to plant in your soul. Amen? Thank God there's a fourth soil. This is the soil that we want to strive for. Look at it. It's rich. It's ready for the seed. That soil will take that seed and it'll bear fruit. In verse 8, other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Here's the interpretation Jesus gives in verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and what? Understands it or receives it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold and another 60. And in another 30. It's the same seed. It's the gospel message. What's the difference? The condition of the heart. That's what's different. And the seed that is ready and softened, that can receive that seed, produces a miraculous harvest. How do I know that it's miraculous? Because in that day, and probably in even today's time, a 20% return would be a bumper crop. Jesus says, man, the person that receives this, some 100, some 60, some 30. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains in me, he will bear much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that flow out of the life of the believer, that we are grounded and we have received it, and God's doing a work and his kingdom is growing in our hearts. And we're expressing it, living it, following it, witnessing, testifying, declaring, sharing the good news of this kingdom. Now, there's two groups of people here today. There are some of you who have received the kingdom. Okay? You are a believer. And you've experienced what it means to be saved. Some of you have not yet received the kingdom. You're still wondering, thinking about it. Maybe some of you are anti about it. Maybe some of you are running from it. We have different kind of hearts represented here this morning. Some of you have a hard heart. Life has beaten you down. Life has stepped on you and has caused your heart to be hardened, and you don't trust, care about anything. Some of you have a stony heart. It's filled with stones and tribulation, trials, sufferings, all that, those hardships. You just run. You don't want to be a part of that. And some of you have thorns that's grown all around your heart, and it's choking out the cares of God and focusing on the cares of this world. And I'm going to ask that you today would allow God to do a plowing and cutting the weeds out, and that he'd speak to your heart and that you'd receive the kingdom. Now, those of you who are believers, now here's the problem with this. I can always remember this, but my pastor growing up, he's now with the Lord. He would say this every once in a while. And this is for the Christian. So if you're a believer, I want you to listen to this. He'd say this. If you can remember a time when you loved the Lord more than you love him now, you backslid. Now, you haven't backed out of the kingdom. You're not where you should be. I don't know what has gone on in your life, because even as believers, we suffer hardships. And sometimes some stones get thrown back over into our soil, doesn't it? And every once in a while, we let some thorns grow up in our heart. And there is a tendency sometimes for us, even as believers, to get hard against God. We ask, we doubt, we wonder, and all these things. And if we're not careful, we'll allow our heart to get penetrated with the enemy's attacks. And so for you, believer, I want to ask you something. If all of him means less of me, are you willing to say, take everything? That is a hard prayer. Lord, if there's any stones in my life that I've brought back into my heart, if there's any thorns I've brought back that's choking out what you want to accomplish in my life, would you remove it and get it out of my life? Because it doesn't need to be there. What I need is you, Lord. You is what I need. And let's give him our heart. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, this morning, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just plow through our hearts, God, even mine. Soften me, God. Make my heart softer towards your kingdom. Lord, if there's anything in my life that doesn't need to be there, would you reveal that? And Lord, let us repent of that. Lord, this morning, if there's a man or a woman that they've never called upon your name, and God, you've brought him or her here just to say, I want to implant my seed in your heart. Today is a day of salvation. Lord, would you open their eyes? Would you give them ears to hear? Would you enable them to cry out to you, God, and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me, for I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. Lord, do your saving work today in Jesus' mighty name.